A dumb child needs a particularly emphatic partner if he is to be understood at all. Speech, on the other hand, is often used less to express genuine feelings and thoughts than to hide, veil, or deny them, and thus to express the false self. And so there often are long periods in our work with our patients during which we are dependent on their compulsion to repeat, for this repetition is then the only manifestation of their true self. It lays the basis for the transference and also for the whole mise-en-scène of the patient's field of interaction, which in the literature is described as acting out and is often met with mistrust. And that's, unquote, from Alice Miller of Prisoners of Childhood. And I'm arguing that we should consider that these insights of Alice, which she is sharing, bringing to us in the from her observations of individual silencing, that these observations and insights might apply societally as well. So let's unpack the quote a little bit with that lens. Can one portray a story that one does not know? This sounds impossible, but it happens in every analysis. Consigning us to the role wage labor, we are arguing here, is a trauma. Because it requires us to cut off huge chunks of ourselves with no one confirming that that's what's going on. So it's a wound that never gets defined as a wound and leads to endless confusion. And I believe it's the original trauma of a coerced work system. What if the story that one does not know is the loss of the infinite that we all possess? That what they have not, that which they possess, Shakespeare wrote in The Rape of Lucrece. And I've used that excerpt. I really want to spend some time again with that at a future date, The Rape of Lucrece, and that particular section of it. The patient needs the analytic situation as a framework for the development of his transference before he can stage his story and make it understood. How do we, as we the people, particularly the more sensitive among us, those unwilling to revenge themselves on those who are weaker in terms of social status, stage that story? Might that not be what's happening in every protest? Might that not be its underlying motive energy? The compulsion to repeat plays a prominent role in an analysis conceived in this way. Much has been written about the negative aspect of the compulsion to repeat. Nevertheless, the need to repeat also has a positive side. Notice as we go deeper the parallels on the global scale in our repeated and continuous expression of outrage in protests, in revolutions, and we've remarked before, not just we, but lots of the ancestors like George Bernard Shaw and Victor Hugo have commented on the fact that, and our own poet, contemporary poet, John Trudell, have commented on the fact that revolutions really don't bring you anything new. They just bring you new bosses with new suits. They left their hats on. Oh, that's not an image I want in my head right now. Repetition is the language used by a child who has remained dumb. His only means of expressing himself. A dumb child needs a particularly emphatic partner if he's to be understood at all. So if we the people, the nation, are the child, who, what might be the emphatic partner? By which word, emphatic, I take it she means strong, in possession of certainty. We're going to be thinking about that in terms of, in future shows, in terms of the kinds of safe spaces we want to establish.